Welcome to the Financial Analyst Journal Author Interview Series. I am Rodney Sullivan, Head of Publications and Editor of the Financial Analyst Journal here at CFA Institute. We're here today with Darren DaCosta, CFA, to discuss his recent FAJ article, Minimum Maturity Rules, The Cost of Selling Bonds Before Their Time. The article is published in the May-June 2013 issue of the FAJ. Darren, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Rodney.
In this interview series, as you know, we invite our authors to discuss their FAJ article with us. So let's dive right in with the first question. Darren, what was the practical issue or issues that motivated your research?
Well, I'm glad you asked. The practical issue here that I had started to uncover a number of years ago was the high level of turnover that I was observing in traditional fixed income funds and exchange-traded funds. And as a result, potentially a result of that turnover, the potential underperformance that was really being felt by the investors and that underperformance relative to the index that these index funds were seeking to track. So really, with that in mind, I started to dive into a little bit of research to understand it, and started to work with my two co-authors, Greg Narona and Fei Lang, into understanding what might be causing that high level of turnover and quantifying the impact on investors.
And what approach did you apply to resolve the issues?
A very simple event study approach, similar to studies that have been done in the equity markets, looking at reconstitution effects in things like the Russell series of indices, and applied that methodology to the fixed income space. Now, you know, it hadn't been done specifically on a reconstitution effect or looking at the minimum maturity rules that we looked at specifically previously, but there had been some studies to look at how to essentially approach this type of analysis. So we went through this event study format. We identified bonds that were being deleted from the index and ones that we believed would be suffering from price pressure, and looked to match those securities with bonds that were not being deleted but had similar characteristics. And by comparing the two bonds' performance, we identified a normal return to a trading strategy, a pairs trading strategy that one could actually go about and implement in the fixed income space.
And tell us how your findings on results can be used and may influence practice.
Absolutely. I think this is the most important thing, and really the reason that we put the paper together and published it was because we really want practitioners to understand that index construction does matter, and not just in how the indexes are constructed, but how they are maintained throughout time. In the fixed income space, because we're dealing with securities that are traded over the counter, subject to a bid-offer spread, it's really, really important to look at the level of turnover that the products that you might be considering for your clients are experiencing historically, and understand why that might be driven out of the actual rules of index construction. In the case of the minimum maturity rule, it's a rule that applies to many fixed income indexes where they're removing securities before their actual maturity date. And that's something that potentially makes sense in the context of an index being used as a benchmark for an actively managed portfolio. However, from the perspective of an index fund looking to track that index, it actually puts constraints on the portfolio manager and forces them to do something that would potentially not even be in the investor's best interest, selling at an inopportune time. So from a practical perspective, we believe it's really important for practitioners to look at the rules of index construction, when they're looking at index funds, really understand what that rule is going to have in terms of impact on turnover and what that fund, as a result, might absorb in terms of costs, trading costs being paid away to the marketplace.
And if you will, discuss your main findings.
Yeah, the main findings here is that the performance of traditional fixed income funds is actually being negatively affected by the rules of index construction that the funds seek to replicate. We focused on the minimum maturity rule, but there are a number of other rules that one could also look at. We see, when looking at a particularly large fixed income ETF tracking a pretty well-known fixed income index, the iBoxx Investment Grade USD Index, that investors in those products are essentially losing, in terms of performance, roughly 3.5 basis points on a very conservative measure of performance on a yearly basis because of the costs associated with tracking the index that this fund is benchmarked against. And we know that this cost could be very easily avoided if some of these basic rules of index construction, namely the minimum maturity rule, were actually removed from the index, and therefore the fund manager had the flexibility to actually hold those bonds to their eventual maturity date.
Are there additional thoughts that you have?
Absolutely. You know, we looked at a very simple rule of index construction that affects virtually all fixed income indexes, and we believe that this result could also carry through to other types of rules that the indexes may have. For example, liquidity screens. Oftentimes, fixed income indexes will have a liquidity screen or a minimum par value outstanding that is required for a bond to remain in the index. And if that bond drops below that because of a tender offer or a call or some other partial call or some other corporate action, that bond is then removed from the index. We see this on downgrades from investment grade to high yield, where there's a significant amount of selling pressure around those types of events. But we believe that any event that drives turnover in a fixed income based strategy or fund is going to lead to relative underperformance. And there are many of these types of rules out there. You know, from the perspective of the practitioner, myself being a practitioner, we look at my firm to actually avoid these types of problems, avoid these types of costs that don't really need to be borne by the investors in the product by designing the indexes that we publish in a more intelligent way. We believe there's lots of opportunity to do that, and we know that ground is just being broken here in this space. So, look for, when you look at the indexes that your products are seeking to track, understand what those indexes are going to do in terms of costs, in terms of total return, in terms of risk, but keep them all in focus.
Darren, thank you so much for taking the time to share your research and ideas with us. We encourage all of you to read this article and additional articles from CFA Institute on our website at cfapubs.org. Thank you all so much for listening.